All right, welcome back to the pregame show. You are listening to Bill Lasky. I'm sitting in for Marty Lurie today, and joining me today is Adam Copeland and Mark Sanchez. And today, gentlemen, they're facing Luke Weaver from the Arizona Diamondbacks. And looking at the game he threw last week against Trevor Cahill, he struck out the side the first inning, and he was really in control up until the fifth inning. One of the biggest things, he throws 97, 95, he's got a good little cutter, but his changeup is really filthy. And looking at the lineup today, Yastrzemski hit a home run with him. This is a guy that's really been pitching the ball well the last couple starts. What do you guys both see and what the Giants have to do to him early in the game rather than later in the game?
Well, I think it sort of starts with the same plan they came out with against Zach Gallen the last time out. I'd imagine they came out with the same strategy yesterday that just didn't work out, and that's trying to get the pitch count up early. I think the Giants have done a good job specifically of waiting for pitches in their zone, right? I think guys now have a plan where you don't have really a two-strike approach now, Bill, because guys know my pitch is low and away in this count, and if I don't get it, I'm not hacking at it. And now they do, and guys like Wilmer Flores are thriving on that. He's unloading on pitches with two strikes, and the Giants as a team are unloading on pitches with two strikes. So even when you're behind in the count, I think the plan is to get your pitch and make sure you drive it. So you mentioned it and alluded to it earlier, facing a team twice in a row, like in rotation, is a difficult thing to do. I always think about like NBA teams got to play one team four times a season, and even the worst teams usually get a win one out of the four times. It's tough to beat a team back-to-back games like we saw with Zach Gallen yesterday and his last time out. So Luke Weaver's been healthy. He's been dangerous, I think. But if they jump on him early, they can get to him.
You know, Mark, the adjustments are the biggest thing in big leagues. We all know that. And that's one of the biggest things I think the Giants have to do against Luke Weaver in establishing that fastball and seeing if they can knock it out of the park or just get on base. Luke Weaver has some great stuff. He had a great year last year. He got injured. What do you see in adjustments against Luke Weaver this afternoon?
No, absolutely. And as Copes was saying, you know, they need to wait him out and make him come into their zone and then do damage when they do. And, you know, when you bat like that, you strike out some, but you also it lends itself well to strong power and strong slugging. I think they're really going to have to rely on the top of the lineup. They have struggled against righty pitchers. They can't find that third outfielder who can hit righties. You know, Dubon is in there today. Troy Rickard was in there yesterday. Dating all the way back to Joe McCarthy as their opening day right fielder. They can't find that guy. And Dubon is batting ninth. Joey Bart is hitting eighth, who's, you know, has looked more like a rookie in the last couple of days. This is the type of game where Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson are the top of the lineup, both lefties. They see the ball better from him. I think they're really going to rely on those guys and see if they can get some damage from up top.
You know, one of the things that we've seen is Trevor Gott. And, of course, we saw all his negatives in the ninth inning. But I want to get your both thoughts of coming into games where there was non-stress and seeing him pitch again. And I think he's got electric stuff. What do you both see in him now compared to what he did a week ago, because it was pretty much a couple of weeks, well, I'd say about 2 weeks ago when they played the A's. Do you think he could be that closer again? Do you think that's an opportunity for him again? And do you think Gabe Kapler will throw him in that situation? Go ahead, Adam.
I think Bill, like you know better than anybody, when a guy goes through a bad stretch, like you've got to get your head right. And sometimes like they've got to get confidence back in certain pitches. And the thing that I think is tough to do with Trevor Gott is like, you think back to the last time we saw him in the closer role, and it was the walk-off home run in Anaheim against Tommy La Stella. The pitch that La Stella hit out wasn't that bad of a pitch. It was like a breaking ball that was kind of off the back foot, and he just kind of golfed it. He like took a 9-iron and put it up in the air, and it left the ballpark, and they won. But because it had happened in such a short period of time like that, and because the other two meltdowns had really been meltdowns, I think a guy's got to get his confidence back. And so, putting a guy in these situations where they're not high-stress situations, I think is not a bad thing to maybe to try to get him to get his confidence back. I think he does have the stuff, but we see guys all the time with the stuff who never really make it in that role. It's hard to get the last three outs of a big league baseball game. And I wonder about guys like Reyes Maranta, who are starting to get worked out in Sacramento, guys like Sam Stelman, whose strikeout to walk rate is extremely high right now. And he's throwing the ball really well against good hitters and tough hitters in the middle of the lineups when he comes in. So I think that they may be more likely to go to somebody else on a consistent basis than Gott, just because they've already seen what he can do. And I don't think that that means he's out of the bullpen. I just think we won't see him in the ninth inning anytime soon.
You know, those are great points, Adam. And I tell you what, it's so difficult when you get hit, and you get hit in tragic situations in those games against Oakland, and then you go right back out there Monday and it hits you again. And in reality, that's what managers want to do. They always say, hey, I'm going to put you right back out there, but it backfired on him. And what I see in Trevor Gott now is he's kind of getting in a game plan a little bit more than just throwing. I got a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I got a curveball that's off the table. I just saw a little bit better of a mindset and knowledge going into that last game he pitched. And I'm with you, Adam. I think more confidence in just building up one inning here, one inning there. Mark, when you're watching Trevor Gott, do you think he's got quality stuff to be a closer?
I do think that the stuff is there. When we've seen in the last couple of days where he's, pitched better, he has looked a little bit more under control, where, when he was going through that meltdown period, he would, throw too high in a fastball because he was overthrowing, and then he would take off his cap and wipe the sweat off his brim, and you could tell he was bothered by everything that was going on. And I think there was a feeling of, oh, no, it's happening again. Each time it happened again. But I do think he's got the stuff, and they're going to try to let him dictate that he should be given better innings as the season goes along. They really want him as a late inning guy. Just looking at the makeup of the bullpen, I mean, Selman has taken a big step up. He's a lefty. Tony Watson is a lefty. Tyler Rogers is really their one late game ready option, although he's, sort of a novelty, although Kapler would balk at that word. Not a traditional righty, I should say. But they don't have that big power righty arm at the back of their bullpen that I think they really want Trevor Gott to retake that role.
Yeah, we always talk about any trade deadline. Are you buyers or sellers? And everybody's asking. And, of course, all the names come up with Gausman and Watson and other names. Even Trevor Cahill, I read an article. It's a possibility of a guy that's a free agent at the end of the year, and he's been throwing the ball better. And there's no doubt about it. He's got great movement. He could be used in the bullpen, starting pitching. But I'm also looking at some other guys that could possibly be thrown in here. Solano. That's one name that I'm looking at. That's really been really playing very well, hitting the ball. Sure, he's got cold. What do you think? And I'll go to Adam first also. What about players? Do you think any players could be moved today, this weekend, I should say?
Like position players, you mean?
Yeah, position players, more or less.
Yeah, the Solano one is interesting because I think, if you look around at which players on the roster are guys that are legitimately going to be with you when you make the next step forward. When I mean that is when you make a full run to the postseason, whether it's next year or the year after. A guy like Solano is not, he's not a kid, right? He's not 25 years old. He's not really a prospect. Even Yastrzemski at 30 years old is a little older of a guy to break into the big leagues and start to hit his stride. So Solano's a guy where, same sort of thing. I wouldn't be shocked if he were moved. But I don't know what kind of value you'd get for a 32 or 33-year-old middle infielder with a very good bat. And I see him as kind of a Marco Scudero type of acquisition. But how much weight does a team in a pennant race put into needing that type of player right now or giving a prospect up for that type of player? So, at what point do you say, hey, we'd rather plug a hole next year with Solano and try to retain him than move him for a prospect that may not be worth it?
And Adam, you make good points because these guys are in their 30s, and, of course, everybody, you hear 30, they're old. That's how it's always been. Mark,
relax,
when you look
Bill,
at
– I turned 31 in March, Bill. Relax.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're old now. So there you go. You're an old guy. Don't ask me. I'm not going to tell you how old
relax,
I am.
Relax, Bill, yeah.
But I want to throw this to you, Mark. It was kind of prevalent that Chris Shaw and Abad are now in Sacramento, and those names have been players that – have been great prospects, but yet have not failed. They've failed at the big league level. Do you think possibly they did that move to get him on that 60-man roster that could possibly trade him?
Yeah, I don't think the timing here is accidental. I don't think they just suddenly decided, a couple of days before the trade deadline, oh, let's see more Chris Shaw, who they didn't even invite to spring training 2.0. And, you know, apparently he's been working out on his own, but they don't really know what kind of shape that swing is in. It would be a whole lot to ask him to see the majors this year when he hasn't been seeing pitching in months, really. So I don't think that was accidental. I think that they loaded up the pool so that they have as many options as they can in deciding whether they're buyers or sellers. And I don't think that they're exactly going to be either one. A guy like Solano, I think if you traded him, that would be hard for the clubhouse. It's tough to take someone who's been one of your two or three best players and trade him away and pretend like you still have a chance of contention. That one I would be surprised at. But if Chris Shaw can fetch you a lefty hitting corner outfielder, something like that, so you can plug in instead of Dubon today, I think that's why they were at it, to get hopefully a player who can help this year while they're still in contention and while they're still trying to make an expanded playoff. And that makes sense to me why they did it now.
Well, I kind of tell you, they got a three-game losing streak. Today is going to be that day. Hopefully they can get a win and take two out of three with a Johnny Cueto on the hill tomorrow. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today on the pregame show. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow. And both of you guys have a great day. Appreciate it.
Later, Blue. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yep. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And we're going to be right back on the pregame show on KNBR, the sports leader.
This is the flagship of Giants baseball.
Double play!
KNBR and KNBR-FM, San Francisco, the sports leader.